We're talking, and we have been over the last few weeks, about Bible stories. And the reason I wanted to use Bible stories is that when somebody says Noah and the Ark or Adam and Eve or the flood, you know, the flood or Lot's wife or something like that, we all kind of go, but we don't necessarily really know what it is. And in a lot of cases, we've been raised with people telling us what the Old Testament stories mean and adding their own little spin to it. So what I'm going to do is add my own little spin to it, and you see whether or not it jibes with you. And so far we've talked about Adam and Eve. We talked a while back about Abraham, but we talked about Adam and Eve and the creation of the earth, and then last week we talked about the flood. And one of the most interesting things about the flood, of course, is that that story actually goes through every culture in the world. Every culture in the world has that same story of the flood. And so as we look at that, then we look at other stories and we think, maybe there's more to this than all these facts and figures, which a lot of people tell us about the Bible. Maybe it's just a great story. Can I say that again? Maybe it's just a great story. We, in our Western minds, you know, when we know that two by two the animals entered the ark, we want to make sure that they were actually, every single animal was covered, or something is wrong. We have to believe that. To the people back then, they went, it's a story. Just like when we hear the story of Lord Ganesha, that he was a boy made out of a soap bubble and he got his head cut off, and then they found the head of a baby elephant that had just died and they put it on. To the Hindus, they go, that's a cool story. But for some reason, when people look at the Bible, they have to believe that it's absolutely 100%, which is okay. If that's your belief, that's totally cool. But I think there's so much more to the story. So what I want to talk about today, put the slide up for me, Mary, if you would, is Lot's wife. That's Lot's wife. We're going to talk about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but what's interesting is, as you actually look at the New Oxford Annotated Bible, the story of Lot's wife is actually an old tradition to explain for bizarre formations in the area made of salt near Jabul Usdumi. So what happened basically was, these people are going around and they know these stories, just like we know certain stories. We could talk, really, we would do better, honestly, talking metaphorically about Star Wars, because we all know that better than we do the Bible. I'm being very honest about this. But back then, the stories that they knew were the stories of Lot, the stories of the flood, and everything else. So they're standing out there and somebody sees one of these formations and somebody says, who is that? And somebody else goes, oh, that's Lot's wife. Really? Tell me a story. So that's what I'm going to do this morning, is tell you a story. I want to read, actually, out of the Bible this morning. This is Genesis 19:15. Let me back up a little bit, in case you don't know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah is, of course, let's deal just first with the story of Sodom. They were twin cities, not like Minneapolis and St. Paul. They were twin cities in the extent that they were both evil, terribly. You've heard this, right? You've heard that Sodom was a bad, bad, bad place, okay? It was an evil place. And God went looking for 10 good people in Sodom, and God couldn't find it. So God, as God does, said, okay, we're just going to flush the whole experiment. Now, you may think I'm joking about this, but if you look back, you've got Adam and Eve. Well, they flushed the whole experiment, and everybody was thrown out of Eden. Then you had everybody on the planet was basically flushed and thrown away in the flood. And we always go back and we have to blame somebody. Have you noticed that? We've got to blame Adam. Or actually, we blame Eve. We blame Eve, don't we? We blame Eve and then we blame Adam, and then later on we blame Noah. No, we don't blame Noah. We blame Adam and everybody else. Everybody else for being evil. So a lot of these stories, unfortunately, are about the Israelites, the chosen people, getting off track with God. God saying, okay, wait a minute, let's hit the reset button. Let's reboot the whole thing. And then people come back, and what do anyway? We screw it up all over again. But you know what? Isn't that life? We try something new, and we do something new, and we move on, and it's pretty cool. And then all of a sudden, it's like, it doesn't serve me anymore. And so we hit the reset button and we we move on. So, what happened was God sent two men, it doesn't say angels, God sent two men, it does later say angels, initially it says men, to come down and to get Lot and his family and get them out of Sodom before fire and brimstone happens. So in Genesis 19:15, when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, here and there they're being referred to as angels, get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you will be consumed in the punishment of the city. But Lot lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful upon him, and they brought him out of the city and left him outside. I want to hit that for just a second. Take this in for a second. The whole city is about to get burned down from stuff raining out of the sky. Lot has been told, you and your family get to live. What does Lot do? Let me linger for a while. Do you ever see where it's clear for you to go and to do something that's new and better for yourself? Do you see that the thing that you're living in is basically a house that's going to burn down pretty soon? Do you see that the situation isn't going to work out, and yet God or somebody, well, there's only God, has shown you a way out? I think I'll stay here a little bit longer. But you know what happens? Ultimately, you get seized and dragged. I have a magnet on my refrigerator that says, let go or be dragged. Let go or be dragged. We have to let go, or ultimately life is going to drag us out of there. Our own good can't be denied us, is what this is saying. Even when we linger, even when we hesitate, even when we don't move forward, it's not going anyway. We're going to get dragged to it. So they get dragged to it. When they had brought them outside, they said, flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills, or else you will be consumed. Whenever in the Bible it says flee to the hills, it means go to a state of elevated consciousness. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was a sermon from elevated consciousness. Go to a place of high consciousness and stay there. What does Lot do? Lot is so human. He bargains and says, and Lot said to them, oh no, my lords, your servant has found favor with you, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life, but I cannot flee to the hills for fear the disaster will overtake me and I die. Look, that city is near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. It's just a little city. Can't I go to the city? I know you want me to go to the elevated state of consciousness, but let me go around to the city. What's in the city? Other people. Are they necessarily at an elevated state of consciousness? Well, let me ask you, you work and live with other people. Are they necessarily in an elevated state of consciousness? Yes or no? No, absolutely not. But Lot says, well, you know what? I know I should probably do this, but it's so human, just like everybody else. I'm going to go and hang around with these other people. And this then explains later on when people go, well, Dad, that's a great story, but why are people still so messed up? It's because Lot didn't go to the elevated state of consciousness. He didn't go to the mountain. He went where the people are. He said to him, very well, I grant you this favor too, and I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape here, for I can do nothing until you arrive. Therefore the city was called Zoar, which means small. So he went to a small city, literally. I guess he was the original Clark Kent. He started out in Smallville. So then the Lord rained down Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord of the heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city that grew on the ground. But Lot's wife, being with him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. By the way, real quick, I want to explain to you what the sin of Sodom is, because I think this is one of those most misunderstood things about the Bible. And it's important for us to understand this. Sodom's, I mean, if you think God's going to come down personally, I mean, again, it's a story, but God is going to send angels down to burn a city to the ground. It must be a pretty bad city. Wouldn't you agree? In fact, it says, let me give you a few Bible quotes about how bad Sodom was. Genesis 13:13, when the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 18:20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. Isaiah 3:9, the shoe of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have been rewarded evil unto themselves. In other words, these people are so bad, they walk around and say, I'm bad, and I don't care. Everyone in this city. What in the world could a city of people do that is so bad that God wants to burn it to the ground? Well, we've been convinced that it's homosexuality, and it's not. It has absolutely nothing to do with homosexuality. In Ezekiel 16:49, it says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters, yet neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor or the needy. They were wealthy, and they didn't give, and they didn't help. They didn't give. Now, why the whole homosexuality thing? Well, when the men first come to Lot, Lot invites them into his house, and there are a mob of people who show up and say, we would like to know them. And yes, that literally means in the biblical sense. The thing is, people say, well, that's homosexuality. No, that's not homosexuality. That is rape. Rape is about anger and violence. Homosexuality is about love between homosexuals. So, it's real easy to remember, by the way. We look at Sodom and we look at Sodomite and we think it's the same thing in the Bible. It's really not. It's just the same as all Missourians aren't miserable. If you want to remember it, you've got Sodom, which is the name of a city. Missouri is the name of a state. Okay, then you've got Sodomites, which were temple prostitutes later on in the Bible, and they served the god of Canaan. So you've got totally separate issues, just even though the names sound the same. Missourians aren't miserable. So what's the point of Lot's wife? Don't look back. You know why? You're not headed that way. If I was to ask Star to get up and walk from one end of this room, it wouldn't be a problem at all. She could step over all of you and everything, unless I said, Star, keep your eyes on the back wall and walk backwards. And so many of us do that in our lives. We look back at our ancestry and we say, you know, everybody in my family is. See, everybody in my family was fat. Okay? Everybody in my family was fat, so I inherited the fat gene. You know? Thank God I now have skinny genes. Because I realized I didn't inherit that. A lot of people inherit fear. A lot of people inherit a lot of things from their past, from their parents' past, fears of their parents, prejudices of the parents. That's what it means to look back. To look back on what your parents thought and what they believed. My mother used to drive through, there was a black section of town. I grew up in a very segregated city in the South. And whenever we would drive through the black section, my mother would just reach over and lock the doors. That spoke volumes about racism to me that I had to overcome. So we look back. We also look back when we look at previous relationships and previous jobs and we glorify them. If only I had, or if only I hadn't, or maybe I should, or I should have taken this, or you know how you should know if you should have done something? Whether or not you did it. But since you didn't do it, don't look back. You're not going in that direction. Which begs the question, where are you going? Where are you going? Are you going to a high state of consciousness, or are you going to hang out with everybody else who tells you what's wrong and how it can't be? It's interesting. Growing up in the South, salt is one of the four basic food groups. We grew up eating, just salt, salt, salt. I can remember my dad standing there cutting fresh vegetables and then taking a salt shaker and salting all over the vegetables and eating them raw. We ate so much salt, it was amazing. And you know, I can remember one day realizing that salt is not a spice. It's sold in the spice aisles at grocery stores, though, isn't it? Salt isn't a spice. Salt is a preservative. Salt. Is a preservative. What does a preservative do? It keeps things the way they are. Now, why is it that we consider it a spice, and why do we add a preservative to our food? Because we're looking back. Because our parents ate with salt. Because people before them ate with salt. Because food was brought over from Europe and it was salted, and people developed a taste for it, and then they got used to it. And that's all an example of looking back, when we can choose to look forward. When we look back, we turn into a pillar of salt, which means we preserve things exactly as they are. You can't look back and move forward at the same time. Otherwise, rock on. So again, I ask you, where are you headed? And are you looking in that direction? If you look in that direction, you'll get there. If you keep looking behind you, either nostalgically or lamentingly or whatever, you're not going to make it. We're nostalgic about the past, fearful about the future, and as a result, we miss the present moment. So let's make a commitment to look forward, okay?
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes, or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.